The gospel text for our consideration this morning is according to St. John chapter 4, beginning with the fifth verse. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the piece of land Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Then Jesus, being tired from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," she said, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his animals." Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never be thirsty ever again. Rather, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, bubbling up to eternal life." "Sir, give me this water," the woman said to him, "so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus told her, "Go, call your husband and come back here." "I have no husband," the woman answered. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say, 'I have no husband.' In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews insist that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will not worship the Father on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming, and now is here, when the real worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for those are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, the one called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus said to her, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." The Gospel of our Lord. Friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you know about our church body, you know that we're the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, abbreviated WELS. And I think that the Samaritan woman just may have been WELS. She was drawing from the well of Jacob, and she found the real well of eternal living water in Jesus. So there's at least two reasons why I think we'll take her in. Right? Okay, all lame jokes aside, this is vital. This is so much more important to us even than church affiliation. Although I love the fact that I grew up in the wells and learned of this living water and learned to drink deeply through those who taught me in this synod. But man, the search for eternal life has been going on for a while, often in the form of a fountain of life, a fountain of youth. If you go back to the time of the discoverers, the explorers, the Spanish conquistadors, that's what they were looking for. People like Juan Ponce de Leon, who discovered Florida kind of by accident, looking for that fountain of youth. So the Spanish conquistadors thought that America was Asia back in the 1500s. And there was always this legend already in Europe that the Garden of Eden could be discovered in Asia if they would just find it in the right place. And so Ponce de Leon and his men and conquistadors like him were constantly looking for that. They found the Dominican Republic and Haiti on an island back then when it was kind of just all the same thing, Hispaniola. And they found Puerto Rico. And then Ponce de Leon was commissioned to go explore the island of Pascua, Florida, which means flowery Easter, but they shortened it to just Florida. And there, in a place called St. Augustine, they found a well bubbling over with a lot of minerals, probably a lot cleaner than any water they had seen on the journey over, and still just so disappointing. Because it wasn't what the legends said. Since the time of the father of history, Herodotus, the legends said that if you would find this spring of water in just the right way, if you drank of it in just the right place, you could be an old man, and all of a sudden, you would gain all your youthful features back, you could start a new family, and you could live another full life, basically. And that's not what they discovered. No matter how deeply they drank of the waters of St. Augustine, Florida, or anywhere in this new world. But you, brothers and sisters in Jesus, you have the water of life, the living water that bubbles over into eternal life. You have it. And you drink from it every time you come to God's Word and every time God meets you in His sacrament. What a beautiful, glorious, special, albeit almost very common thing when we have the water of life in Jesus Christ. And at the same time, because of our sinful attachments, we also find ourselves digging different wells, looking for different meanings, searching for other answers, attempting to quench our thirst in other ways. Why do we do that? Why do we continue to go to a different well? Brothers and sisters, you have the good news of Jesus. You have the gospel. You have salvation in Christ. As we heard so clearly in Romans chapter 4, it's by faith alone, not by works. So my encouragement to you today is simply drink the gospel deeply. Drink the gospel deeply. It is so pure, and it tells us so many things that our sinful nature doesn't want to hear, but there is such depth in what Jesus has to say. And we find it in this long discourse, maybe the longest talk that Jesus has with anybody in the book of John, maybe in all of the gospels. Here in John chapter 4, he speaks to someone, really, he wasn't supposed to speak to. Because Jesus knew sinners thirst. Okay, but wait, Pastor, the story starts with Jesus thirsting, and I know Jesus isn't a sinner. Okay, that's true, but my point still stands, sinners thirst, but let's go with that. The fact that Jesus thirsted, because who was Jesus? Not a sinner, but true God, and also true man, as we just confessed in our creed together. Just a basic Christian truth. Jesus was fully God, also fully man. Truly, he had taken on human flesh, and that meant that he thirsted. There were times when he felt human discomfort, just as you and I do, with human bodies full of water. Even our bones, I'm told, need about 30% water, and Jesus had human bones, blood, and flesh. So after a long journey, he was tired. 6 o'clock by the Jewish clock would have been around noon, if that's what St. John was going by here. So it was probably a hotter part of the day in a hot part of the world. And Jesus' human body needed to rest and to relax for a little bit. But what human beings who were Jewish were not supposed to do, they were not supposed to talk to their historical, their cultural, societal enemies, the Samaritans. And much more than that, if This was a woman in public. A man was not supposed to simply strike up a conversation. And yet Jesus reaches through that barrier. He defies all of those cultural barriers, as he so often did. He invites the woman, the Samaritan woman, into his story at the well, into this true account where he has a lot to give her. And first and foremost, the realization that she thirsts. So how did he get there? Well, he more or less commands her to give him a drink, and she's surprised. She's stunned that Jesus, in this bad part of town for a Jew, would speak to a woman, countercultural so much as it was, that Jesus reached through and defied every barrier here. He was thirsty for a drink, but he also knew that this woman was here at the well for a purpose. And when she was surprised by the question, she said, "How is it that you're speaking to me?" And right away, Jesus seized on that surprise. He went for it. He took this opportunity to change the whole conversation. They could have talked a lot about the cultural problems. They could have talked about politics and historical attachments between Jews and Samaritans. But right away, Jesus turns the conversation in a way I wish I could do more often when I'm speaking with people who need the water of life. He says, "You should be asking me for water." You ever think about saying that to someone who needs to hear it? You should be asking me what I have. Or, "I have something I would just love to give you." Jesus does it so quickly in the conversation, and he does it so well, because he's going to address something much deeper than human thirst, much deeper than bodily thirst, but the thirst of the soul. He was going to make good on a blessing he had delivered to the people back in Matthew chapter 5 in his Sermon on the Mount. In the very beginning, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled." Notice as well that when he turns the conversation this way, he doesn't arrange a series of methods or a series of rules or a series of laws or a different culture with all of its norms and regulations, the proper way to approach the Lord. He simply offers this water of life for free. And it's this limitless, unlimited water of life that bubbles over, not just for the here and now, but forever. What an incredible turn of the conversation. And Jesus shows once again that he was a master. It's surprising. It's surprising when a person defies all social barriers, all cultural barriers, all gender barriers. But it really shouldn't be too surprising to us when we know who this God really was and really is and really always will be. This is the true God who is love. This is the true God who brings life. This is the true God who wants every sinner to know the gospel belongs to you. And no matter how deeply you thirst, the good news of Jesus can satisfy it. So, brothers and sisters, how deeply do you thirst? What is it for? Do you thirst deeply for a better career? For closer friends? For more people in your life? Do you thirst deeply for that one romantic partner who will solve all of your problems? Or maybe do you thirst for the corrective measures that will turn your spouse into the right person, finally, and change that person in the way that you feel you need? Do you thirst deeply for health and safety? Do you cower in fear when the world talks about something that could afflict your body? And do you find yourself thirsting and focusing your thirst on something that can only solve this life, if it could possibly even do that? Friends in Christ, Jesus wants you to know, just as he wanted this sinful woman to know at the well, this Samaritan woman, that the gospel belongs to you. that the good news of Jesus satisfies your thirst in a way that none of those other things possibly could. Jesus satisfies. And I don't just mean that as an easy answer. The reason I can say it's not just an easy answer is because Jesus isn't saying, I want to be your sideshow. He's saying, I want to be your main event. I want to be in real life with you. I want to get very, very personal. Some people want to shut Jesus out and batten the windows so he doesn't get too close, so he doesn't touch the decisions we make in life. But if you understand this water of life that satisfies every thirst, you'll know that he'll affect your every decision, your every step, your every move in life. He's just that important. He's just that special. And so when he again makes an abrupt shift in the conversation, realize that Jesus isn't changing the subject. When he says, go call your husband and bring him here so that I can show you the water of life, he's really getting quite personal so he can affect her very heart. He's getting real. He's getting very personal. So she can confess to him, the fact of the matter is that I don't have a husband. And he finishes her sentence that's right. And the man you're living with is not your husband. You have a very patterned history of bad relationships because you've brought your thirst to men. And every time, a man has failed. Maybe that's true for you. You've brought your thirst every time to a career decision, and every time your career hasn't really solved it for you. Or every time you've brought something important, your thirst, to your spouse, and every time your spouse you found out was another sinner and couldn't satisfy in the way that only Jesus can. Over and over again, no matter where you target your thirst, no matter where you've made an idol out of something bad or good in this world, something that's not the Creator, you've showed your thirst. And you've demonstrated that, once again, something else cannot satisfy like Jesus Christ can. So Jesus could talk here about mountains, which mountain should we worship. He could talk about prophecy and how great of a prophet he is. But what she really needs to hear is who Jesus is, the fact that he is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all of those promises, and therefore he's the water of life that satisfies her every need. So that she can see that no matter what water she thirsted for, over and over again it would continue to make her thirsty. But Jesus is different. Jesus is so much greater. This woman, I can't get into every facet of the conversation. I would love to get into the aftermath too, how she tells everyone in the village of Sychar, and the news vibrates out into Samaria, and as Jesus teaches, they come back and they say, it's not just you, woman, that is the reason that we believe in him, but it's him. We really trust in him, and he's really brought us to believe so that you can see, brothers and sisters, that you can share the water of life. And Lord willing, people will see it's not you, but it's Jesus Christ who satisfies people's every need. But sooner or later, whether we can get into every facet of the lesson, I would like to get into one key ingredient. It's the fact that this wasn't the last time Jesus would thirst. The thing that really makes him the water of life that bubbles over into eternity is the fact that he would thirst another time, a final time, on the cross. A cosmic thirst. When he was truly separated from his Father in a way that doesn't make sense when you try and contemplate the Trinity. But the Trinity never really did make sense to our feeble minds. But in a way that shows that Jesus was abandoned on account of our sins. And due to him, the payment was paid. Due to his sacrifice, we have redemption. And the great I Am was now the great substitute for our sin. There's only one. And there's only one who can pour out the water of life from his side, from his wounds, and from his deeds for us. Trust in this Savior on the cross, brothers and sisters. Believe that he satisfies your every thirst. Stop going to some other well and drink deeply of the gospel. Amen.